Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice, and we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, April the 9th, 2014. And our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Now, I do already have a question in the chat room, but let's first welcome Michael.
Well, thank you, dear heart, and it's a blessing for us to have this opportunity once again to share the space with you who are interested in learning and extending and understanding the first century Aramaic process of forgiveness. Our project is simple. We only want to make this available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And so everything that we do is geared to how can we make the tool of forgiveness available to more and more people. The tool is one that was disappeared almost 5,000 years ago almost 2,000 years ago. And since it's disappeared, the mechanism for removing from the mind those hatreds, fears, and insanities that never belonged has been unavailable to people, which means that when you recognize how physiology works and that our so-called body-mind unit is a device that registers every frequency that comes to it, every thought, every feeling, every reality stored holographically in every cell, then you realize that these energetic patterns are passed from generation to generation. If I have a hard drive that has a virus in it, and I say, well, I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to just make a copy of that hard drive. If I don't have a virus removal tool, then the new hard drive is going to have the same virus, and it's going to be vulnerable as soon as it goes online to other viruses. If I make still another copy and another copy and another copy, then I have precisely the same virus and vulnerability being passed from generation to generation of hard drives. In the ancient Aramaic, they understood perfectly how this worked. In fact, the understanding of how physiology, how psychology operates, how genetics operate is still, we're in the Dark Ages today compared to what they were doing in the Aramaic language. There is some enlightenment starting to come along, but it's pretty much still Dark Ages. But once you understand from the Aramaic, what they were explaining to you is that when you have a child, you know, it's kind of like, you know, to understand the process, it's kind of like replicating your hard drive, making a copy of your hard drive. Literally, every thought, every feeling, every reality is passed from generation to generation to generation. There was a story several thousand years ago about a group of Jews who were wandering in the desert for 40 years. Think about that logically. How do you get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years? It's not sensible. Can't happen. Doesn't make any sense at all. But when you realize that when they were talking about being lost in the desert, they were talking about these unconscious dynamics being passed from generation to generation and people not being aware of what was running their lives and their minds, Now we're talking about the real desert that was being referred to in that story. And you'll recall that what they said had to happen was that in order to get out of the desert, the old generation had to die off. Of course, they weren't talking about people in old physical bodies that had to physically die. The root of that word generation is genari, which means cause. All of the causes held within the body's mind, the generational replicating of the hostility, the fear, the grief, the rage, the pain, the drama, and the trauma has to be removed. If you don't have the virus removal tool, then you can't remove that, and the world goes insane. Go take a look at what, you know, most of the 7.5 billion people on the planet are doing today, and you see the effect of no forgiveness. No forgiveness possible if you don't have the tool. Now, we have lots of people, and you hear lots of preachers talking about forgiveness all day long, or at least they pretend to be talking about forgiveness. But what they're telling you is, well, you know, somebody else is the problem in your life. It's their fault. They did it to you, but all you have to do is let them off the hook. All you have to do is forgive them. If I let the hard drive that I made the copy from off the hook for the fact that my new hard drive has the same virus in it, have I done anything to address or change the virus in the new hard drive? None. Nothing whatsoever. This is a sham, this thing that's called forgiveness in our culture. It has nothing whatsoever to do with letting somebody else off the hook because there is an energy in you that is unlike love. Your hard drive, your multi-generational database, is a device that was designed to hold the active presence of love. If you hold a newborn child, you know exactly what we're made of and exactly what we're designed for. And we've been tricked into thinking that hostility, fear, rage, guilt, grief, and pain are the answer to life and how to make sure that you're safe and just forgive other people if you have those things going on inside of you. We're here with a different message. We're here with first century Aramaic forgiveness, which is how you go inside yourself and remove what never belonged. Hostility, fear, rage, grief, pain, drama, and trauma never belonged within your hard drive, within your multi-generational database, which is what we call your body-mind unit. It never belonged. But because your parents and their parents and their parents and their parents and theirs before them had no access to how to forgive, there was a cumulative effect of this replication going from generation to generation of the things that never belonged. And each generation, in its not knowing and its being vulnerable to more viruses, so to speak, to more hostility and fear, just added to the game until we're at a place where, you know, it's almost difficult to find human life on planet Earth, especially when people are in a position where the stress is up and the chips are down. So what we're here to do is to support, of course, our own learning on deeper and deeper levels and your learning of how to remove from your multi-generational database what never belonged. Physiologically, if you were functioning as a true normal human being, a true natural human being, you would not be capable of any form of hostility or fear. But that's not what serves kings. And so hostility or fear has been perpetrated throughout the ages, and it's time for us to be rid of it. You do that through first century Aramaic forgiveness. If you are not acquainted with that process, if you do not at this point have access to those tools, we invite you to go to our website freely and download it and go to work with it. If you go to www.whyagain.org, that's www.whyagain.org, then you'll see in the center of the page a large bullseye. If you click that bullseye, that will open a whole series of links that will explain exactly how to engage in the forgiveness process. There are at least 6 radio shows that you can tap into that will tell you exactly how to do the forgiveness or the reality management Blitzy process. And so we invite you to go to the website, start listening. The MPs are free. There's lots and lots and lots of information, hundreds of hours of archives. There are videos on the website. And start to engage and become part of the team that changed the world. How did we change the world? We chose, instead of blaming somebody else and trying to forgive them for what was going on inside of us, we chose responsibility and chose to go inside of ourselves and remove what never belonged. And so that's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to support. And we invite you to participate and pass along the tools. Is Dr. Kim with us today, Jeannie?
Hold on just a second. He probably is, and I've been chatting with someone in the chat room and haven't turned him on.
Okay, sure.
He is with us. So, Tim, you're now on.
Hello, hello.
How do you be, sir?
I'm doing beautifully. Beautifully. It's a sunny day, and things are popping, and people are practicing forgiveness left and right, and it's just a great, great day to be alive and a great team to be a part of.
It is a great day to be alive. We had an exciting time at Unity in the Valley here in Las Vegas last night. We did the Healing Through Relationships workshop, and we had a room full of people that were just really turned on and excited about, oh, that's how relationships work. So it was a fun evening, and anybody who's listening who happens to be in the Las Vegas area, we are going to be doing two more free workshops tonight. We're doing communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And tomorrow night, kind of the piece de resistance of the work is codependence to interdependence, 6:30 to 9 o'clock at Unity in the Valley in Henderson, Nevada. Come and play. Other than that, Dr. Tim, anything on your mind today to share?
Well, we had our support group last night. And
oh, awesome.
And once again, it was a delightful meeting of, I think we had 12 people plus myself, or maybe 11 plus me. Anyway, the video was the first half of On Creating Consciously, and I began the discussion with reading from Anthony DeMello's book about awareness, because he does a piece where he talks about how it's so important, if I get triggered to anger or fear, or even sadness and the grief, that I dismantle that before I decide what to do. And so many times people are watching your videos in our group, and they come away and they say, well, so he's telling me that I have no right to be angry, or he's telling me that what this horrible thing this person did was fine, and that I have no right to be sad or trying to get anything to change, or he's all of these negative interpretations of words that never come out of your mouth on the video. And last week when we had someone do a worksheet, that was one of the main themes, that he didn't understand why he should be doing the worksheet. And then when he began to do the worksheet, he kept questioning, yeah, but isn't this saying that what that person did to me is okay? And we kept making the distinction between this person doing something that is unreasonable or violent or judgmental as a completely separate event from what gets stirred up in me. And Anthony DeMello does a beautiful piece. And in the middle of it, I had to stop and remind people in the group last night, now these are not Dr. Michael Rice's words. Dr. Michael Rice probably never met Anthony DeMello. So these are two people studying ancient truths from a variety of different sources, and essentially he says, listen, if somebody does something horrible and I get upset about it, now I have two problems. And if somebody does something horrible and I stay focused in love and just take action from that space of love, then everything gets better, much, much faster. So we had that discussion, and then we had the first half of the video on creating consciously, and then some important questions were asked and discussed, And then we had somebody agree to do a worksheet. And this was a person who was doing a worksheet about an old friend in life who has recently, or fairly recently, had yet another interaction that said, I'm angry at you, I can't even talk to you, I'm so angry, our friendship is over. And the friend kept sending angry messages, person in our group who decided to do a worksheet about it. And it was just another wonderful example that when she was clear about what happened, who she thought was creating the difficulty, the emotion of sadness she was feeling, and the goal she had for this other person. And then she read through the worksheet, and she acknowledged that if she was upset, she must be creating her reality out of corrupt data. And she took the step of canceling the goal for the other person to change and asked to be shown the hidden part of her mind. She said she got smacked in the face with what this was really about. And it was another time in her life, years ago, where someone that she cared about rejected her. And there was a lot of tears and a lot of energy moving, but it was just a wonderful example of, as long as I try to figure it out with my conscious, logical mind, I'm creating more of a prison for myself. And when I engage in the actual process of the tool of canceling my goals and recognizing that if I'm in pain, I'm in error, and ask to be shown something that I'm clearly not seeing, I get access to the hidden part of my mind. And this person did that, and she went from a 7 or an 8 upset down to a 2-level upset and had all kinds of other worksheets revealed to her that she still needs to do about this other event from years ago, that she was living her life and walking around not realizing the level of anger and fear and pain she was carrying from this past event. And now that it's conscious to her, she can start doing the worksheet process and the mind shifter. Also, last night we had people decide they wanted to choose numbers for the mind shifter process and write down a mind shifter, which they can do during the week. And once again, that crazy process of people just clearing their minds and asking to be shown the right numbers to pick. And time after time, there were groans, there were people, you know, saying, oh boy, am I glad I didn't get the one you just got. And then, you know, 5 minutes later, theirs was read, and it was even more on target for their issue than the one they were glad they missed. So it was just a delightful group. It's, as I say, every time we talk about it, I am honored to be surrounded by such committed and loving and intelligent people who are actually spending time every week in that group trying to make their lives better and, by extension, making the world we live in better. So that's my offering for today.
That's pretty powerful. And, you know, it is such a huge piece of learning to recognize that when I look at the pictures my mind presents to me, that they are pictures my mind is presenting to me. They are not what's happening in the world. You know, the whole world has been taught, you look through your eyes and you're looking at what's happening out there. And that's it. You're looking at what's happening out there. And it is such a huge, huge piece of learning to go, oh, I'm looking at the output of my mind. And, you know, with this, one of the things you triggered is you talk about this woman and how much anger she had, and she's got somebody who's angry with her and wants to kick her out of her life. And, you know, when we have that unconscious hostility or fear going on, you know, it's kind of like you've seen me do the example or the demonstration of it. I'm carrying a chair on my back that I don't know is there, and every time I turn around, I whack somebody in the head with what I don't realize is there. When I turn back, I don't see the chair that's on my back, and I say, what are you complaining about? I never hit you. And most people have no idea how much unconscious energy they're swinging around all over the place, and bringing pain and trauma to the forefront and the people around them, and the chain just goes on until somebody goes, oh, this is the output of my mind. This isn't what's happening in the world, and I can resolve this chair that I'm swinging around, and everything in my life changes when I do that. I mean, it's just, it's so amazing. So thank you for the facilitation that you do with people and the integrity that you have in carrying the work forward. It's just inspiring and awesome to be part of your process. Thank you.
You're entirely welcome and deserving, and it, as I say over and over again, brings me great pleasure, and it's an honor to be on the team.
All right, well, let's check with Jeannie. I think she has some stuff in the chat room, and she's got some callers, so let's see what's happening.
Okay, we've had a good conversation so far in the chat room, but we'd definitely like your input on this. One of the people in the chat room said that she was basically selling some of her stuff, like a yard sale type thing or on eBay or whatever. And she would put prices out there, and people would come back and try to lowball her. And then when she would say no, she wasn't going to accept their lower price, they would walk away, and she would totally lose the sale. And so she has a lot of anger coming up about that and everything, and she said that she sees that this has been a pattern for a long time, and she really wants to heal it. So Tisa and I were having a conversation with her and saying that the situation with the money and being lowballed, and during our conversation, another thing that came out was that she wasn't getting the value for her stuff, and therefore she also wasn't being valued. And so we were putting back that it wasn't about the pricing, and it wasn't about not being able to sell the stuff, that it was a perfect opportunity to show her anger and her feeling of not being valued and things like that, and that that was caused behind the effect, and she was trying to change the effect by working with just the pricing and the people that were coming by her sale. And so can you add to that what she needs to look at, how she needs to clean that up, or maybe walk her through a quick worksheet or something to that effect?
Well, my input would be to recognize that, as we were just talking about, an event happened. You're having a sale. People don't want to pay the price. That's the actuality. And, you know, people don't want to pay the price. People don't want to pay the price. But when I become emotionally invested, now as I look at this person who doesn't want to pay the price, and what comes into play from the content of my mind is, I'm not being valued, or I'm going to lose. You know, I think there could be 1,000 variations on a theme in that regard. But the invisible injection of my issue into that circumstance, and the key to accessing the invisible part that my mind injects into that situation, the place where my disturbance comes from, is that I look at the goal that I hold for these people who are wanting to lowball and buy my things for next to nothing. And, of course, my goal is I want them to see that I'm offering them value and to pay for what I'm offering them. So as I cancel that goal, and this is the essence of forgiveness, in the Aramaic language, the word forgive is sebag, which means to cancel. And what happens when I cancel the goal for the external object of attention is that I collapse my focus on the external. And as I collapse my focus on the external, I get to start to see what my mind injects into the whole process. And if it's not being valued, if it's feeling ripped off, if it's fear of poverty, the goal that I have to have so much money in order to survive, I have to get money out of it, whatever it is, the mind injects its invisible part and tricks us into thinking that my insecurity, my fear, is about them not offering a reasonable price for what I'm selling. Or it's about when, in fact, the invisible part that my mind puts in is my fear, my trepidation, my desire to be valued, my anger about not being valued. There are the invisible things that the mind projects into a circumstance like that. And so what we're offering is that if you go in and forgive, and start to see the invisible part of you that holds the pain, that invisible part is resolvable, and the pain is removed, the turmoil, the trauma is removed. And an interesting thing happens when you remove, you know, that energetic chair that we swing around unconsciously at people and don't realize how we're interacting with them on that unconscious level, is oftentimes they step up. Oftentimes I can then energetically, instead of calling in someone who devalues what I have, I can energetically call someone in who all of a sudden shows up and says, you know, you're asking too little for this stuff. It's really more valuable, and I am delighted to pay for it. But energetically, if you hold that I'm going to be devalued, and I don't know exactly what your issue is, but let's use that as an example. If I hold I'm going to be devalued, then energetically I'm sending out a high-energy wave. And that high-energy wave, and it's measurable in the world of physics, that high-energy wave is going to draw people in who will devalue me, who will play along with me. The minute I heal the part of me that calls those folks in, those folks are less likely to show up because there isn't an energetic call pulling them in. And when I hold that I'm always valued and people treat me fairly, then the tendency is to draw somebody in to treat me fairly. You know, the example that Dr. Tim just used from the support group last night, someone has a friend who's angry with them and wants to break the relationship and doesn't want to communicate with them. And they're like, what's going on here? I don't get it. And as soon as they start to forgive, as soon as they go inside themselves, what they find is their own anger. And yes, when we hold anger, we tend to draw the anger out of other people. And when we forgive the anger that's in ourselves, instead of drawing the anger out from other people, we tend to free ourselves and the people around us from anger. And that's the whole idea of the process of first century internal Aramaic forgiveness. We are, you know, the workshop we did, and Dr. Tim was just saying that they just watched the first hour of the DVD on Creating Consciously. Probably the greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. According to the energetic waves that we send out, and I mean literal measurable waves that we send out, we draw people into putting things out with us. When we shift and change those patterns, and that's what first century Aramaic forgiveness gives us a chance to do, we literally send out a different pattern and we create differently. Everybody loves the idea that they're creators when things are going well. But when things aren't going so well, virtually everybody denies their creatorship and says, and look what you've done to me as I go in and do that forgiveness work. And you can download the worksheet from our website, whyagain.org, whyagain.org. There's a bullseye in the middle of the page. Just click that bullseye, and it'll take you into a whole series of links. The links start out explaining the forgiveness process, how to access the material. The worksheet is there. There are at least a half a dozen radio shows where we walk somebody through the whole worksheet process and start to listen, start to put the pen to the paper, and watch the game change in your world. That's what we're here to support you in. So that would be my input. Any other questions?
Yeah, she said that something clicked and she understands that, but she says it's such a vicious cycle because she has fear that she's not going to sell her stuff in time before she has to move, and then she's going to end up just giving it away and not get any money for it. And so then when she goes into that fear, then her anger comes up, and so it's like this cycle between her not being valued and her fear and then her anger, and then it just like cycles again. And so I mentioned that anger is a drug to anesthetize from the fear or the pain, and that once she addresses what's really underneath it, and it sounds like it's a 77 times 70 issue through her life that she's not received the acknowledgement or the honor or the value that she feels she's deserving. And so she's creating situations that resonate that to give her the opportunities to heal it.
So I would invite you to instantly go to the website, start doing worksheets right this minute. I mean, literally, we could tell you story after story after story where a dire situation was literally turned around in seconds. The result, the expression was changed in seconds. So download that worksheet, go to work with it, and as you said, Jeannie, it's one of the 77 times 70 issues. You know, when they ask Yeshua, you know, when the stress is up and the chips are down, how many of these worksheets do we have to do? And the question was, is 7 enough? And in Aramaic, his response was, no, 77 times 70, which means that, you know, it's not a literal number that you're going to have to do, gee, I have to do X number of worksheets, but rather, 0 is infinity, and 7 is a number of completion. You're going to do an infinite amount of work around your issue till you're complete with it. That infinite amount of work might be 3 worksheets in the next 10 minutes, and you're done with it, and all of a sudden, you're going to see a shift take place. That infinite amount of work might be 6 weeks out. I don't know. But I would go to work with it sooner rather than later. That would be my invitation. And, you know, you might find, as time unfolds, that if you unload this fear, this anger, and the issues related to this, gladly give everything away and not bother with the money because you've healed so much. And as you heal, what you'll tend to do is that you'll find one of the natural results is more abundance. And so it will be easy to let that go as you create a new level of abundance. You go back to Yeshua, he says, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. The only thing that inhibits our abundance is the part of our minds that holds, I can't have it. When I forgive that part of my mind, all of a sudden, flow comes in from all sorts of directions. So that would be my support for you today.
Awesome. And Lily, if you will, put your hand at that worksheet and then perhaps call back in, tomorrow's Thursday. I was making sure we weren't on Aramaic Friday. And we can help you, you know, where you've run into issues with it or where, you know, you maybe get stuck or something.
Yeah. There's 25 minutes left of the show. Jump online, grab a worksheet, go through one, and if you have questions or stuck places, you know, just call right back in, and you're here. And that's our purpose, is to support you. Go for it.
Okay, and another question popped up in the chat room, and then we'll go to our callers, saying that when you say that, I'm trying to find it here because I've also been typing, not 100% multitasker here. So when you say that it has been kept from us, you know, that we've not known that we were creators, they say that sounds like you're blaming someone else for what we are experiencing, that it's someone else's fault that we've been told that we're not creators. And I was just typing in there that while we have a genetic component that's reinforced by our environment, that we have a choice as to what we take in and what we live out of. And then I was just getting ready to type in there what it says in the Aramaic scriptures about knowing what is going on in your society, that if we just stick our heads in the sand and we're not aware of where these things come from, that we can't take care of them.
Right. And let me just take the second half of that. The greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators, and we bought into it. So there's the responsibility. We bought it. Somebody was selling it, we bought it. If we bought it, it's our responsibility, and you can't clean something up until you can take responsibility for it. So the important component of that statement is that we bought the farm, and now it's time for us to forgive it, to get rid of it. So am I saying anybody's to blame? No, I'm saying that's what's been done. That's the fact of what's been done. It has been hidden, and we bought it. We chose not to look behind the curtain. You know, there's that story of the Wizard of Oz, and, you know, it looks like the great and all-powerful wizard. That's what's being presented. And until we're willing to peek behind the curtain, guess where the curtain is? It's in your own mind. And Yeshua 2,000 years ago says the veil of the temple must be rent in twain. He's not talking about a purple curtain in a church. The temple is your own multi-generational database called the body-mind unit, where everything that challenges you is stored. You've got to open that curtain. You've got to look behind that curtain and clean out the garbage. That's the whole idea of the forgiveness process. So there is the fact of insanity happening in our world and in our culture. But I'm always a choice as to whether or not I buy it. And if I've unconsciously bought it, then the work is the opportunity to start to get conscious around it. So that would be my feedback.
Awesome. Okay, so our first caller is Miss Dora.
Well, hey there, young lady.
Hello. Welcome to Unstuck Breakthrough Wednesday.
Yes, and you know, I forget the word that Julie gave to us a couple of weeks ago where she had a suggestion beyond breakthrough, and I don't remember what the word was. Maybe Julie's there, and when you're complete, she can share it with us. But it's a delight to hear your voice. How are you, young lady?
Doing fine, thank you. What I find is the more work I do on myself, the more my personal power emerges. And
yes.
This last week, you know, the condo where I live, to make a long story short, there's a condo unit downstairs that has full of mold. So the condo president contacted the an attorney, and he sent this company out, and they did this, you know, they're going to present this work to us as to what needs to be done. Well, the old Dora would have said, well, it's an attorney. Of course, they know what they're doing. The new Dora with the personal power asked for a copy of this report so I could send it to one of my inspectors to take a look at it. And they said, Dora, they haven't done any testing. You know, when there's mold, you need to test the wall and send it to a lab to see what type it is. So they had a meeting, and I told everybody this, and they said they didn't realize, they didn't understand. So I said, good. So now, with my personal power, we'll have my inspector come down, check everything out the correct way, and clean it, because now this mold is already spreading. One lady is already sick. This other company would have come in for $6,000 and nothing but fluff work, because they wouldn't have taken care of the problem. The mold spreads through cement, it would have gone to other units, and other people would start getting sick. So by doing my work, I was able to stand up and say, no, it doesn't matter if it came from an attorney. He obviously doesn't know, you know, he doesn't know the correct procedure, you know, and this company is not doing what they should be doing.
Oh, wow.
So this is huge. I mean, a lot of people would have been affected by
in
this.
Your power.
Yes, yes, most definitely. But that's what comes from doing work. That's what comes from me doing my work and healing myself. I regain more of my personal power every time I do sheets, you know, every time I work on issues. You know, I could spend a Saturday and do 20 sheets, you just have to keep just doing it. But this is what happens. You know, you can never tell by the work that you do, how many lives you could affect, you know?
That's awesome. And for anybody who wants to tap in, you can go back into the archives. You know, go back 3-6 months, and Dora's been calling into this show quite regularly on Wednesdays. Check out the Wednesdays, and just listen to the difference in Doran's voice compared to 3-6 months ago. And you can just hear the clarity, the power. I mean, it's awesome. Congratulations, young lady.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yes, I can hear it in myself, yes. So thank
you
for presenting.
It's clear that you've shed your victim skin.
Oh, yes, most definitely. Most definitely. And I look forward to shedding even more.
Yay.
Yeah.
Well, nice work.
Yeah,
that's fabulous.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, everything we do affects everybody else, and it helps the planet. And like you've said before, now's the time to start really doing your work and healing to help heal the planet.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, you certainly have our support. We appreciate the fact that you're keeping this moving on Wednesdays and keeping us reminded and on track with this idea of opening the space through ourselves for the whole planet. You know, you remind me of the statement in the Course in Miracles that says, millions yet unborn will benefit from the work you do, and certainly millions yet unborn will benefit from what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Thank you. Well, I wish my best to everybody. Have a good week. And we'll talk to you next Wednesday.
Okay. Lots of love and blessings.
Bye, everybody. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's so cool.
She has come so far. That's awesome.
So, Jeannie, do you have a caller for us?
We do. Area code 970. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Hi, everybody. This is Brad in Pagosa Springs, Colorado.
Hey there, young man. Welcome.
Thank you. Hey, Michael, I kind of accepted a personal challenge. I stepped up to the plate a little bit. You know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and I recently got involved with a veterans group here where I live. And I took a challenge and bringing this work forward. And now I am a member on this board. And they've given me kind of free rein to bring this work into the group, primarily with combat vets. And so now I've had the opportunity to, to start a support group and bring this work forward. And the way it's all come about, it just fell into place just like it was supposed to be. I opened that place for it, and now it's happening. And your radio show yesterday was just so awesome to me. That was just what I wanted at the time that I needed it, because I was feeling some apprehension. I was a little bit frightened by this, and how am I going to present this? And I don't know, but I think that show that you gave yesterday is a good introduction to these guys. And then follow it on up with, why is this happening to me again, and then get into the worksheet process, so-and-so.
Well, God, my whole body's just filled with chills as I'm hearing your voice comes through the speaker on my phone, and I'm just bubbling with chills as I'm hearing you, and it's so interesting, the synchronicity of that. We have been meeting the last couple of days, actually, with two different people who are working with vets, and especially with PTSD, and really supporting them. There's a group here called Life After Active Duty that we're working on supporting and being part of, and we can maybe get this all tied together. And then there's a gentleman here named Terry who's working with some technology, some magnetic technology and light technology for supporting the healing of vets. And so it's so right on track. We had lunch yesterday with two of these folks, and then we're actually going to stay Friday night with this gentleman who's working with the light and magnetic technology as support, and he's integrating these tools with it. So it's certainly timely, and it is time to wake up the game and start to function again, to really, truly, function as human beings and bring this to the world. So thank you, thank you, thank you. That is just monumental.
Well, you're welcome. Go ahead, Michael.
Any support we can be in the process, you know, call in every day as this unfolds with, you know, sharing what's happening, because you never know when somebody else who's sitting out there, you know, in Timbuktu or maybe in China, I don't know, listening to the show is going to be inspired to change when they hear what you're doing and follow suit. So you're opening an energy window, and as Doris says, it opens it for everybody on the planet. And so, you know, please keep us posted, and in any way, shape, or form that there's any kind of block or anything that comes up that we can support, you know, keep with us on the show and let us be a part of it. We're absolutely delighted to be able to support it.
Well, that's very much appreciated, because I'm sure I'm going to time from time need your guidance and assistance on this as things come up, because I know in certain ways it's kind of like opening a can of worms up for a lot of guys. And, you know, this process, this work that you brought forward about, tapping into those hidden parts of our minds and stuff, it's going to release a lot of things in these guys. It's going to bring up a lot of different emotions, including anger and hostility at times, I'm sure. And, you know, I've had my bouts with that, too, because I've suffered from, you know, PTSD, and I never have healed all those things yet. So I look at this as also an opportunity to heal those things that I've yet to heal. It's kind of like you give and you receive. And so I think this will also help me. And even the interaction with these guys, you know, I don't socialize much, because I don't go along with most men's way of doing and thinking, and so I've kept separate from that. So this is an opportunity to get in with a group that I can relate to and also be of help, and they can, I believe they will help me as well.
Well, there's an awesome thought that Richard Bach has in one of his books that says, we teach best that which we most need to learn, and you are going to draw out of these men exactly what you need to deal with, and that's perfect. And as you create support, and as you've been working for a long time now in a really committed way to clean this up in yourself, so that's what prepares you to support someone else in moving through those same issues. And so it'll be like, you know, two tuning forks. As you start to vibrate on that level, it's going to resonate that in the people around you. And as they work through, you'll create a more and more empowered space, which means that each of you will get to look at a deeper level of your own minds and clean it out until we get done with this insanity called war on planet Earth. That's the space that I'm holding. And as I look and see what so many people are doing to support this insanity, it's awesome. It's just awesome.
Well, like I say,
I feel
highly blessed and privileged to be able to do this and take it forward and have the support. And you know, even Cindy supports me in this. I could, but she's just an incredibly wonderful and beautiful person. And
well, she's probably in your life, Brad, because you deserve it.
Well,
are you breathing?
I'm trying to breathe.
Go for it.
Yeah, you're right.
And notice,
I drew her to me, and she drew me to her, because it was time. And see, that's the one thing I've had such a hard time with, Michael.
I understand. If you look at
allowing myself as being a deserving human being.
Yes. And if you look at the messages, I know with your Native American heritage, how long has a Native American been given the message that they're unworthy? And then you look at the way the military has treated you. I mean, basically the military game is to break people down to nothing and then instill hatred so they'll kill. And to recoup your human life means going back through and undoing all of that, and we absolutely support it. And notice that you couldn't see the beauty in her if it wasn't in you. And that beauty is in every one of us.
You're so right. It's just going back and recapturing that which you already know, and not deny it, and not let these other things become things that you identify yourself with, because none of them are based in truth. They're all lies. It's all smoke and mirrors, like you say. And it's an incredible process to go through this. It doesn't always feel good coming back out. I can tell you that. You're exactly right with that, because there's been times just it floors me. And one other question I have. And I let somebody else get on for now, is, with these statistics, about the number of vets coming back that are, committing suicide and so forth, even with, Iraqi and Afghani vets and even Vietnam vets and so forth, where does your source of information on these statistics of the number coming back that are committing suicides come from?
Well, the group, and actually we had lunch with these two folks yesterday that are creating, they've got an organization called Life After Active Duty. Mm-hmm. Their website, just one second, let me reach over and get the card. When we had lunch with them yesterday, they were saying that the VA and the military, the political game, is doing their best to keep the real statistics from people so that people don't know what the real cost of this insanity is. But the website is lifeafteractiveduty.org. And the woman who started this organization, like Life After Active Duty, is named Eva Secchiari, S-E-C-C-H-I-A-R-I. She's the executive director of this organization. And when we had lunch yesterday, she was going to send me a copy of all of the stats, all of the figures that they have, that they've uncovered. And it's not easy to uncover them. I'll make sure to forward them to you and make them available. But if you want to look at lifeafteractiveduty.org, I'm not sure how much they've got on their website at this point, but they're working on creating a national organization to work with vets. And not only the healing aspect of it, but the other part that they're working toward, there's a gentleman named Steve, Steve Gregg, who's been working with homeless people, who's been working with people who are on welfare, and getting them off welfare and getting them back to work. So an important part of this whole project is also putting the vets to work, getting jobs for them. He was instrumental in one of the major banks making a commitment to hire 100,000 vets. If I'm remembering the statistics correctly, I believe that was the number. And they've now passed that number, and they're going to the next level and working on hiring another 100,000. So that's part and parcel of it is, supporting the vets who have had a challenge, coming back from the insanity of war and being dropped into a society that doesn't necessarily appreciate them at all is a pretty tough thing. And so they're working on the whole package, and we're going to be participating with and supporting that as well.
Great. I would welcome that. Every bit of information I can get with people that are working on this, I'm sure will be of great value.
You can email Eva, and she's got the stats, Eva at lifeafteractiveduty.org. EVA at lifeafteractiveduty.org. Drop her an email, introduce yourself, tell her that you're working with us, and she, I'm sure, will be so delighted to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you very much for passing that on. And,
delighted. Delighted. Glad to be on the team, and we are so delighted that you are. And as with Dora, I hear a new brightness and aliveness in your voice, and, you know, there's a beatitude that we were told by the Greeks says, blessed are they who are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And there's another piece in there that doesn't show up in the Greek that's so important. And what it says is that we'll access that deeper power in ourselves that the Creator put in us when, through service, we bring about the peace and understanding under in an accord with love's will, with God's will. And, you know, as you step out in service, it brings another level of power through you, and I hear that in your voice, and it's just delightful to be part of it. I'm honored.
All right. Thank you very much. So I'll decide for now, and I will keep you informed. I'll no doubt be calling you for assistance at times. And support.
You've got it, sir.
Thank you very much.
All right, blessings. Take care. It's so powerful when somebody steps up to the plate and says, I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to stop my, you know, comfortable or uncomfortable existence and, you know, just being self-centered, whether I'm self-centered in my pain and my turmoil or I'm self-centered in my comfort and my pursuit of stuff. When somebody steps out and says, I'm going to put my time and talents, money, and energy into doing something about it. You know, everybody sits around and says, oh, somebody should do something about this. But we've been taught in disempowerment by our culture purposely, oh, you're only one person, there's nothing you can do. We invite everybody who's listening to the show to question that lie in your mind and do something in your community. I don't care if it's going to the local kindergarten and working with kindergarten kids and teaching them the commitment or the I am somebody that we read yesterday on the show. Whatever it is, do something about changing the game on the planet. That's what we need. So thank you for your support. And, you know, someone who's been doing something about it, and we're down to just the last couple of minutes, but Rex, we appreciate that you guys are going into the prison every week and supporting. Tell us what's happening.
Well, I know we've got a couple minutes. That's awesome to hear, Terry, what he's doing and so forth. And, Terry, if I can be of any support to you, feel free to give me a call. You know, that's amazing and great work. The prison work is the first session went a little slow. There was it was a little challenging, actually. The guys, there were some challenges that one of the inmates that are doing the work deeply had with a captain, and she evidently just took all of his material for no reason, he said. And it was a bit of a trigger. By the end of the session, he was feeling a lot better. We just worked the material, and that was helpful. And in the second session, the highlights were very simple. The guys are excited. They're doing the work. Because of the last experience, I talked a little bit about what had happened with the triggers and, you know, opened it up so that if they happen to notice.
So we're down to 60 seconds.
Well, then what I'll do is I will, let's see, I've got clients tomorrow. I won't be able to call them tomorrow. And then maybe I'll just catch up next week. It went well. It's a wonderful honor and a blessing, and it's great to be on the team. Blessings, everyone.
All right. Thank you for what you're doing, Rex. You're a blessing to the world, and we appreciate you. And everybody, invite a stranger to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's the nicest gift you can give to the world.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
seen.